Well, Fusion, before we get to our teaching, looking at God's Word tonight, I want to make a couple acknowledgments of some people. First, my mom and dad are here tonight, which is just such an honor to have them. I love these two so much. They are beginning a brand new journey. They are this very coming week. They're moving up to the Seattle area, going to be taking a role in a church up in the Northwest. So heading back to where we started so long ago as a family. So love them. Anything good in me as a pastor, as a preacher, as a husband, as a father, I learned from these two. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here tonight, Mom and Dad. Also, last weekend was Student Ministries Weekend here across the whole, all of our services, and yeah, such a great weekend. Jake and Levi taught at all the services. Jake taught here at Fusion, absolutely just preached the walls down at this place. Jake, thank you so much. To all the students and the leaders who are part of that, thank you guys so much. And CA Students is doing a special Fusion field trip tonight, so we got a whole bunch of our CA Students family here. Welcome you guys. Fusion is a place, it's a place for you, a place for you to come find your friends, find your people, find your purpose. So as some of you are preparing to graduate high school, please know that Fusion is a community that we would love to continue walking with you in your relationship with Jesus. As we continue tonight, so excited to continue. Grab your bulletin, by the way, if you got one, you came in. We are continuing in our series, God Never Said That, where we're looking at many statements, phrases people will say to each other, and we're asking the question, does God really say that? Is that really something that's true about God? Tonight's statement is one that is widely used, and it's this statement, God helps those who help themselves. This is an incredibly common, and to be honest, it's a tempting and useful statement to make, especially when somebody asks you to help them with something you don't really want to help them with, right? It's like, hey man, could you help me move on Saturday? It's like, I would, but God helps those who help themselves, and I'd rather God help you than me help you, so I'm gonna pass on that, bro. You're good. God helps those. He'll help you. Don't worry about it. The truth is, God never said that. He never said that he helps those who help themselves. And the truth that we find in the Bible and the truth of the gospel is actually the opposite of that. Fusion, would you pray with me as we begin? God, we thank you so much for tonight. Lord, we thank you for the spirit of worship that is in this place tonight. We are so reminded of your love, of your faithfulness, of the way that you will continue to do the things you've already started to do in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, that it is active, and that when we apply it to our lives by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. So Lord, we pray that you would speak tonight. Teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The statement, God helps those who help themselves, is a pretty common statement that we'll hear, but the truth is, that's not found anywhere in the Bible. Now, there are partial statements that you can draw from. Things like in the Bible, it'll say things like, if you don't work, you won't eat. And people will extrapolate that out, that idea, that if you're able-bodied, if you're capable of doing a thing like working, don't just sit there and wait for God to do something that you're capable of doing. But that's different than God helps those who help themselves. The origins of this statement, the real origin, actually goes back to one of Aesop's fables, Hercules and the Wagoneer, from the 6th century BC. And in this story, the Wagoneer, his heavy load on his wagon, gets bogged down in the mud, and he calls out to Hercules to come and help him. And Hercules shows up, and what he says to the Wagoneer is, "Get up and put your shoulder to the wheel. The gods help those who help themselves." And so here, in this polytheistic fable, we find the origin of what many statistics will tell us 4 out of 5 people believe this is true and that it is in the Bible. We find the origins of this statement. But the truth is, God never said that. And in fact, in one parable, Jesus makes the opposite clear. In Luke chapter 12, it says this, "Then someone called from the crowd, 'Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me.' Jesus replied, 'Friend, who made me judge over you to decide such things as that?' Then he said, 'Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own.' Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm which produced fine crops. And he said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you've worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." Three problems with the phrase, "God helps those who help themselves." Number one, you can write this down. It confuses "thy will be done" with "my will be done." It confuses "thy will be done" with "my will be done." One of the greatest gifts that God gave to humanity is free will. It allows us to choose whether or not we will respond to God's love and love him back. It's so important for us. Without free will, we have no choice and we are just robots. However, the problem with having a will is, if you're anything like me, I tend to prefer my will over other wills, including even God's at times. In a statement like, "God helps those who help themselves," it can very easily translate into me thinking that God is obligated to help me with whatever I desire. I pick the agenda, God provides the horsepower. Because I am helping myself, God will help me with this thing. But listen, Fusion, there is a really tough reality that we all need to come to grips with. God's greatest goal is not to necessarily make all of your dreams come true. Now, I believe God wants us happy. I believe God wants our lives marked by a deep and profound joy. But just because you want something doesn't mean it's God's top priority to make that thing happen for you. Jesus, when teaching his disciples to pray, he taught them, "Father, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The greatest good is not my will." Why? Well, for starters, I have been known to at times set my will to something that is not in line with God's will. And second, even on my best days, even when my intentions are as good as I can possibly make them and have them be, even my intentions are set and I have them as good as I can make them, I have limited knowledge. I have limited perspective. I don't see all of the things that God is working. I don't see all of the things that God has going on in this world. But Fusion, God's knowledge is not limited. His perspective is not limited. And to choose his will over yours is not to choose the worst thing. It's not to choose the lesser of two evils. It is to choose the greatest possible good in the long run. In the parable we just read, the man in this story, he makes himself and helping himself the primary goal in life. And notice, God doesn't help him in this story. What does he do? He rebukes him. He says, "You fool, you will die this very night." And then who's going to get all of this stuff you've accumulated in life? This confusion on God's role in our lives, it can lead people to give up on God when he doesn't deliver on their dreams. I hear it all the time. Ask any pastor. We hear this sort of thing all the time. People say, "Oh, I tried God. I tried the whole church thing. It didn't really work out for me." Like, what does that mean? Like, I did my part. I showed up like once a month. And I thought about tithing like occasionally. And God, he didn't really fulfill all of my desires. He didn't fulfill all of my dreams and all of my expectations. He didn't help me achieve everything that I wanted to achieve. He didn't get me that promotion that I wanted. And I told God I really wanted to marry that person and now they're dating somebody else. And I'm bummed about that. He didn't help me land that role that I auditioned for. So yeah, it didn't really work out with God. Look what Jesus says to his disciples after telling that parable in Luke 12, verses 29 through 31. He says, "And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink, Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of all unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. According to this parable, it's not God helps those who help themselves. It's God helps those who seek his kingdom first and foremost in their lives. We need to understand he is our helper. The Bible calls God just that. It refers to him as our helper. The first part of our statement tonight is true. God helps. That is true. But it's the second half of the statement where things go astray. So if God is our helper, then who does he help? Let's look at Psalm 146 because it provides at least part of the answer. It lists all sorts of people that God helps. And as we're reading it, I want you to see if you can identify who are the kinds of people that God helps. As you identify one, underline it or circle it. Here's what Psalm 146 says. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with it. Now, this is a warning for people who would consider yourself powerful in life, people who can help yourself in life. Don't let some status of yours, don't let some financial security of yours, don't let some education or privilege or whatever of yours ever cause you to lord it over or to oppress other people. Because you are warned about that in Scripture. You are not the kind of person God helps if you are lording that over other people. But God goes on to say this, but joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows. But he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. Look who the Lord helps. He helps the oppressed, hungry, the prisoners, the blind, the weighed down, the foreigners, the orphans, the widows. God helps those who are oppressed. God helps immigrants. God helps children of immigrants who have been separated from their families. God helps those who are oppressed by racist systems and ideologies and ways of thinking. He helps those who do not have power. Here's the thing, though. His help isn't just limited to those kinds of people listed in this passage. All over the Bible, it tells us who God helps. It says that he helps us when we are tempted. He helps us when we dare to share the gospel in the face of strong opposition, when we dare to speak the truth when it is incredibly unpopular to do so, he helps us. When we ask for wisdom, the Bible tells us, he helps us. When we are weak and we don't even know how to pray about that thing and that situation we are facing, the Bible tells us God helps us. Now, what do all of these categories of people or situations have in common? They all lack the power to help themselves. Number two, you can write this down. God's help comes the most when I can help myself the least. God's help comes the most when I can help myself the least. Have you ever been in a place or a situation when you are helpless, when you can't help yourself? It's a tough place to be. It's even hard to see people you love in a place like that. My grandpa, who I talk about often here, he passed away a little over 10 years ago. He was a strong, independent, capable man. He never needed help, even though he would wake us up at the crack of dawn to help him with construction projects around the house. He was a strong man. However, there was one occasion when he really needed some help. See, for his 50th birthday, this is back in the early 90s, for his 50th birthday, my family decided to buy my grandpa some rollerblades for his birthday. I know. He was a great roller skater back in like the 50s, and so we decided to get him some rollerblades and bring him into the current era. And so we gave him these rollerblades for his birthday, and we went straight to the garage for him to try them out. So he was rollerblading around on our garage floor, and he was showing us how he can rollerblade backwards because he's so good at it. And rollerblading backwards, he went to stop himself, only it was his first time on rollerblades. If you know the difference between roller skates and rollerblades, roller skates have a brake on the front. Rollerblades have nothing on the front. And as he went to stop, he tipped and went down on the ground. 2 hours later, he was back at our house with both arms in cast like this. The man needed some help. And he did not like it. He was grumpy about it. He was mad about it. The biggest loser of the whole situation was my grandma, who had to put up with him for weeks in two casts. It got so bad with him not wanting to get help, to not receive help from her, that at one point they were driving in a car, and he demanded that she pull over the car and get out of the driver's seat, and he himself, with two casts on, climbed in the driver's seat and drove them home with his arms like this in casts. The man did not want help. This story didn't have a lot to do with my sermon, but I want to talk about my grandpa for a minute. I guess the biggest point is it's hard to realize that we need help, that we're unable to help ourselves. Psalm 10:14 says, "The helpless put their trust in you. You defend the fatherless." See, if God only helps those who help themselves, then where does that lead those of us who can't help ourselves? It leaves us helpless and hopeless. But Fusion, God will never leave you helpless. God will never leave you hopeless. God helps those who cannot help themselves. But it takes coming to the realization that you are unable to help yourself before you are ready to recognize that God is your helper. Because if you can help yourself, you don't need God. You don't need his help. Watchman Nee was a pastor in China in the 20th century. And in one book, he tells a story of being on a river with about 20 young men. And they were swimming in the river. And as they were swimming in the river, one young man in particular who was in the middle of the river at the deepest point began to cramp up and began to call out for help, splashing and struggling to keep himself above water. Near Watchman Nee was a man who he referred to as an expert swimmer. They knew this guy was great in the water. And Watchman Nee and everybody else expected this expert swimmer to jump in the water and rescue this guy who was struggling and calling for help. But the expert swimmer sat there and did nothing. And for minutes, this young man in the river struggled to get air, struggled to breathe, calling out for help with all that he had, begging for somebody to come in and rescue him. And that man sat there and did nothing. Watchman Nee even writes that in his heart in that moment, he began to hate that man who sat there and did nothing to help this guy in the water. Finally, after several minutes of struggle, that young man in the water stopped coming up to call for help and just began to sink down to the bottom of the river. And in that moment, in an instant, that guy was in the water swimming to him. And within seconds, he had pulled both of them to safety on the shore. Watchman Nee was relieved that this guy was safe, but he was still angry about what had just happened. He decided he was going to give this guy a piece of his mind. So he walked up to the expert swimmer. And he told him, "I have never seen a Christian who loves his life more than you. Don't you know the distress you could have saved this guy from if you had just jumped in and rescued him before he started to sink?" And the expert swimmer calmly replied to him, "If I had gone in earlier, he would have clutched me so fast that we both would have gone under. A drowning man cannot be saved until he is utterly exhausted and ceases to make the slightest effort to save himself." Wow. Fusion, some of you are like that man in the river tonight. You are trying and trying to live the right kind of life, to do the right things. And it's all being done in an effort to try and save yourself, to try and win God's approval, to try and demonstrate your worth. And you are so frustrated that God doesn't seem to be helping you in these things that you are doing. Well, the truth is, you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You cannot save yourself. You cannot earn your worth to God. God doesn't love those who are lovable. He doesn't save those who are worth saving, and he doesn't help those who can help themselves. He loves people who are unlovable. He saves people who are not worth saving, and he helps those who cannot help themselves, which is good news for you, and it is good news for me tonight, because all of those things are true of me. We have to come to the end of our striving, to the end of ourselves, because at the end of our striving is where God's help begins for us. God's word is filled with story after story of people who could not help themselves being helped by God. And it begins with people acknowledging, I can't help myself, I can't save myself, I cannot do this thing on my own. I am so grateful for the people in our community who are recovering addicts, who are getting free from addictions. And in their pursuit, they are finding freedom and they are finding help that God is providing them. And in recovery, the first step is to say, I need help and I'm not strong enough to do this on my own. That's the moment where help arrives. And that moment of acknowledging our helplessness is the moment we step into actually understanding what the gospel truly is. Number three, in terms of salvation, we are all utterly helpless. We are all utterly helpless. You could have all of the money, all of the power, all of the status, all of the education to help yourself in this life, but this life is a vapor that passes quickly. And no matter how much you might be able to help yourself in this life, there is one reality that applies to all of us. When it comes to sin and when it comes to death, we are all helpless. See, if God only helps those who help themselves, then when it comes to our eternal destiny, heaven could not be further away from all of us. We have all sinned, and we all stand condemned as a result of that sin. And when it comes to our greatest need, rescue from sin, rescue from death, there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. But thankfully, this is where God's help showed up the most. In Romans 5, 6, and 8, it says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were helpless, when we were powerless, when we were unable to rescue ourselves, when we weren't even keeping our own head above water, at just the right time, at the perfect moment, when God knew this is the moment this needs to happen, Jesus jumped in. He went to the cross. He died on the cross to save you from your sin, to save you from the death that wants to destroy your life. He did that because we couldn't do it ourselves. Sean, if you'd join me up here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, some of my favorite verses in the entire Bible say this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. Fusion, a life with Christ, it continues just like it began. It began with grace, and it is sustained with grace. It began with help that you could not provide for yourself, and it is sustained by help that you cannot provide for yourself. God helped you when you were lost, when you were broken, when you needed to be saved, and he helps you still today. He helps you when you are so filled with doubt. He helps you when you are questioning and struggling with who you are, with what is your identity. He helps you as depression seeks to set up shop in your heart and in your mind and in your life. He helps you as you wonder, how am I going to pay rent this month? As you pray and as you pray and as you wait and as you wait for God to answer those prayers. He helps when we realize that from the very beginning, he has been our ever-present help in time of need. If he helped you back then, he'll help you today. It isn't a matter of helping yourself. It's a matter of realizing that He is our help. And once we realize that God is our help, we then also realize that He is now sending us to be His hands and His feet for people in this world that He is now going to help through us. You see, God helps the marginalized, and He wants to use His church to do that. God helps widows and orphans, and He wants to use the church to do that. God helps immigrants, and He wants to use the church to do that. God helps those who are trapped in addiction, and He wants to use the church to do that. Fusion, when you seek God's kingdom first, you're going to find His help in your life, and then you're going to find He is now sending you out to go and help others. But it all begins with realizing that God doesn't help those who can help themselves, but God helps the helpless, which is you and is me. Would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads for a moment. God, we thank You for the help that You have provided for us. Would You even help us now to reflect in our own lives and our own minds, where have You showed up and helped us in the past? Where were You present with us in a great moment of need? What was that mountain that we could not move on our own, but You moved for us, Lord? God, I pray that You would help us to be so mindful of the ways that You've helped us in the past. And I pray that You would give us the faith to believe that You're going to continue helping us going forward. Lord, we pray that we would be a people who seek Your kingdom first. Teach us to set Your kingdom as the priority in our lives, above our own wills, above our own desires. Lord, what are You sending us to? What are You calling us to? Lord, we pray that You would help us to be people who remember that we can't help ourselves, that You are our help, and that now You are sending us to someone to help. Lord, I pray that You would bring to mind for people in this room now somebody that You want us to help. Who do You want us to help provide something for? Who are You putting it in our heart right now to write a check to send an encouraging note to show up in a moment of need, to bring a meal to? Lord, who do You want us to help in this world? And now, Lord, we offer You our moments where we need help now. God, as we're thinking about our lives, we offer You these situations that we cannot help ourselves in, that we cannot fix on our own, we're not capable of doing on our own, Lord. We offer You these moments now. Jesus, will You be our help today? So, Lord, we remember that You have helped us, and we remember that You are our help now today. We love You, Jesus. We worship You tonight. In Your name we pray. Amen. Fusion, would you stand as we worship together for a few more minutes?